Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
You know, people think that if you're going to obey the Word, that you won't have any freedom. You'd have just the opposite of what the Bible says. But it makes you free in every way.
It makes
you free. The truth makes you free.
God's desire is for His church to be alert and awake so we can understand His ways. Don't be fooled by the plots of the enemy. Join Gloria and Kelly Copeland on the Believer's Voice of Victory and build your faith for today.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's with us today. Kelly Copeland is going to be teaching us what? What are you going to teach?
Well, for this week and next week, I've called this Faith for Today, Faith for Tomorrow, and Faith for Endurance.
That's good. I like that.
So we've talked about some real practical faith things. And faith for today is wherever you are, whatever you're in the middle of, He's got the answer
That's
for
right.
you.
That's right.
And also, I want to kind of transition a little today and tomorrow to talking about where we're at in the things of God, because it's getting hot out there. And I don't mean just hot in Texas or hot wherever you live, but I mean this is the most exciting days of the church.
Praise God.
There are some real, I believe, some real keys that tell us that we're headed into some things wrapping up. For one thing, the unity in the church. Okay, this is happening, and that's never happened.
That's good.
God is bringing us all into some new places. We talked about that on the last time I was on the broadcast about what God is doing in the church is so exciting. I love it. Walls are coming down. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I grew up, y'all taught us to love everybody. You taught us, it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter, you know, if people like you or not, you just love. And you taught us that. And I never, even though people wrote books about my parents and said ugly things about y'all, and sometimes it would make me mad, but, you know, mostly I've just asked the Lord to help them and not get upset, too upset about it. Because y'all were like, it didn't upset you. So, but on your behalf, I did get angry sometimes. But really more hurt that people would think those things and say those things about you when I knew those are not true. And the most integrity of anybody I know and the most giving and the most loving people I know.
Well, thank you, Kelly.
And so I knew those things weren't true about us. But I didn't grow up not liking those people or being angry at them, because that's the way y'all taught us, just to walk in love. But a few years ago, I began to realize that even though I had not built up walls against other people or other denominations or other people that didn't like us, I had not built up those walls based out of not liking them. The Lord began to show me I had walls up thinking they didn't like us. And that I had to get rid of my walls of they don't want to listen or they don't want to hear or why should I go talk to them? They don't want us anyway, you know? So that's as much a wall
sure.
as I don't want you. So I realized and I began tearing those down in my life. But I found that as walls came down in me, you know, the same stuff that makes you difficult, the same stuff that you don't let Jesus at, when I say that, you know I've been talking to you about letting Him in there, letting Him diagnose you, let Him tell you what's wrong, let Him tell you what you need to change, let Him correct you. The same stuff that you hold back from Jesus is the same stuff that comes between you and other people in your family, It's the same stuff that needs to be corrected that comes between groups of people. It's just the same stuff. I mean, and even when Adam and Eve sinned and they covered their sin with fig leaves, their shame.
Yeah.
Really, they covered their shame with fig leaves. You know, who would want to wear fig leaves? I don't even want to think about what that would feel like. You know, when you put clothes on your kids and you spend $100 on a little dress for your little five-year-old, and she's like, it itches, and just won't wear it. I finally quit buying, trying to buy the itchy dresses, but because they don't want to wear them. But the stuff that we put on to cover shame or to cover sin, it's prickly. It's prickly to other people. It's prickly to your family. And you don't realize it because you're keeping it covered up. So as God is dealing with all these things, walls come down and unity occurs. So we're going to talk about maybe some more of that next week. But that's one of the things that is just so glaring about this time that we live in right now, is that the church is actually, we're actually Ephesianizing.
Did you make up a new word?
I did. I coined this word, Ephesianizing, where Ephesians said that we are going to come together in the unity of our faith into the fullness of Jesus. So as we come together, we bring the wisdom and the insight that God has given in each of our lives, or each in our different folds of people that He's had growing up all over the planet. We come together and we actually look like the manifold wisdom of God, which equals Jesus, the stature of Jesus. So it's really very exciting what He's doing. All the parts come in together. I mean, Jesus prayed that this would happen in John 17, and it's happening.
They'd be one.
And if Jesus is praying for something, it's going to happen. And I just want to be a part.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice about whether or not it's going to happen, but we have a choice. Are we going to be in on it? Are we going to be in on it, or are we going to be going the other direction?
And we want to be in on everything God's doing.
We want to be in on everything. And, right. You know, the person in the Bible that that makes me think about is Peter. So I'm going to talk about the disciples some today. But what I really want to direct us in is understanding that where we're at in the last days. I wasn't going to start with this scripture in 2 Timothy 3, but I believe it's important just to establish that even if the last days go on for another 200 years, that's not my decision or not anything I can have anything to do with. But what, like you always said, it is for sure our last days.
That's right.
So we need to live in the way that we are on the same page with Jesus. And so the unity in the church is happening. And then when you read 2 Timothy 3, the Bible describes the last days. Paul tells Timothy, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. I'm reading the New Living. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that will make them godly. Stay away from people like that. It goes on to talk about, how people are vulnerable people and talks about things that can get people off, that are going to get people off track. And then he says in verse 10, you know what I teach, how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about it. And he says, and you know that the Lord rescued me from all of it, all the persecution and troubles. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But, so he's about to give us the key. Aside from his life that he leads his life with purpose. He leads his life with faith, patience, love, and endurance through the Spirit. And then he says to Timothy, You have to remain faithful to the things that you've been taught. What has he been taught? He's been taught purpose. He's been taught love. He's been taught faith, patience, all those things that Paul, we actually are supposed to teach with our life, the word says. Our lives
living
is a teacher.
Is what the word
you
calls
teach the scriptures and you live it, and it causes people to have understanding along with the Spirit. He says, remain faithful to the things you've taught. You know they're true, and you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they've given you the wisdom to receive the salvation or the victory that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. The Word of God tells us what we have. The Word of God gives us wisdom to the salvation that's been bought and paid for us, that we can lay hold on. So what we've been talking about the last few days is laying hold of it. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. The Word corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what's right, and God uses it or uses the Word to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. This is the days we're living in, I believe. Those last days, that's everything about that sounds like today. Mm-hmm. Like it was written today. Every single thing about it. Disobedient, boastful, ungrateful, scoffing at God. You know, even 50 years ago, people didn't scoff at God.
Oh, no.
No. And they, you know, all these things have just gotten worse and worse. Unforgiving, unloving, no self-control. They call what is good, what's evil, good, and what's good, evil. And those are just, I just wanted to read that to establish that. But in all of that, our job, remain faithful. Remain faithful to the Word. Remain faithful to this Word. And don't rely on government, don't rely on TV, don't rely on news, don't rely on Hollywood to tell you what's right and wrong.
That's right.
Rely on the Word.
Now, what would be
tell
the
you what's
biggest
right
necessity of that? You got to know what it says.
Yes.
Before you
You've
rely on
You've got to spend time on the Word, in the Word. And, you know, we talked, Mom, you did such a great, I knew you would. She gave us the Word on faith. And how to walk in it, how to feed it, putting it in your eyes, putting it in your mouth, putting it in your eyes, putting it in your mouth. Because if you don't, you can't remain faithful to it. And if you forget or neglect to put it in your mouth and put it in your eyes, then it's not going to be the Word telling you what's right and wrong. It's not going to be the Word correcting your behavior. It's not going to be the Word correcting your life or telling you how to live your life right. Or how to be free. It'll be something else. It'll be the world or Satan will get you off track if he can. But if you will remain faithful to this Word, even though there are difficult times, and really, if you take note of what was said here, it says, there will be very difficult times for people, blah, blah, blah. So all those things it said, ungrateful, unholy, boastful, scoffing at God, those bring difficult times for people. But we don't have to be in that.
No, we don't.
We fly through difficult times. Why? Because we lay hold of the Word.
That's right.
We let the Word correct us. We let the Word show us where we're wrong. And when difficult times come, the Lord gets you from one side to the other. He can get you across. I tell you what, I went through a hard time. You know, these last few years, I went through a hard time, but you look back and you think, I have no regrets. You look back and you think, God, you delivered me. I'm freer today than I've ever been.
Praise God.
And maybe I'll talk about this some next week. I don't promise. But when the children of Israel came to that place and there is no way out, Pharaoh's behind them. There's a sea in front of them. And I love the song that says, He split the sea so I could walk right through it. Mm. You know, He split that sea in front of them And they walked across on dry ground.
Mm-hmm. Not muddy ground.
And it didn't look like there was any way. He will make a way. The Word says, where there is no way, He will make a way. When you stand there in that place and you are trusting Him, and you have put everything in Him.
That's right.
And He's the one you look to for salvation. You know what I love about that, Mom?
What?
Just, I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but I believe somebody needs to hear it. Here they were being chased down. And even before that, they were in slavery and bondage, and there didn't look like any end to that. Years, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 400 years of slavery and bondage. The idea, I'm sure that in their minds, the promise of a deliverer was far away when they were in the middle of their work and in the middle of their slavery and in the middle of their bondage. But they would remember there's a deliverer coming.
Yes, amen.
But when Jesus comes, when Moses came, the deliverance came, it was sudden and it was complete.
Thorough.
In fact, He swallowed up in that sea every possibility of the enemy coming after them.
That's right.
They were free and free indeed.
That's good.
And you know, the Bible says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He has set you free to a degree that it is evident in your life. Mm-hmm. Indeed, that word free, indeed, that means for real.
in every way.
Or like the kids say, for the reals. You are really, really free. You have to do what Mom said yesterday. If you didn't hear it yesterday, take that word. If you need freedom in any area of your life, spirit, soul, body, family, anything, take that word she preached. Take that scripture. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yeah, you know, people think that if you're going to obey the Word, you won't have any freedom. You'd have just the opposite of what the Bible says. But it makes you free in every way.
It makes you
free. The truth makes you free.
You take how Mom said to implement it and take it and receive it, put that into effect in your life, and He will have you to the other side of the sea on dry ground, firm, solid, dry ground.
That's right.
And then swallow up any chance of this coming back again, if you believe that, and you receive that freedom. So anyway, that really was not what
Praise
I was going to talk
well,
to you
about
today.
Well, that was good. We
liked we're free.
It. That's right.
We're free, and we've been made free. And so, but where we are today, there's this, it is so critical that we walk and live by faith.
Yes, always.
It is so critical that we look at Jesus and we keep our eye on Him, that we allow Him, just the way the last several broadcasts that we did in the times before, several months ago, we talked about allowing Him to correct, allowing Him in there, allowing Him access to all of our soul. Because we want to know what's going on. I called Emily last night. I called her a question box. And she
She's
laughed
very
at that.
Inquisitive.
But then I told her, I said, that's what my dad called me, was a question box. But I always want to know what's going on. I think I get it from you. So we can learn something. Where I want to launch off to what we have time left today and into tomorrow, maybe it might take me into next week some, but where I want to go today is looking and see where when things were changing in the disciples' lives from what they knew, it just seemed like things began to ramp up. And they're learning about Jesus and they're getting corrected. And Jesus said, that happened because you have little faith, or where's your faith? And He's correcting them over the storm in the sea as they're crossing the sea. And He's correcting them here and they're living with Him. And man, they get sick. Peter's mother-in-law is sick, so Jesus goes and heals her. I mean, He's just teaching them, and they're walking together. And then suddenly, He starts talking about some stuff they didn't like. He starts talking about how things are going to change. And I don't think they were listening. And he kept trying to tell them. He kept trying to tell them, and he was telling them, I'm preparing you. I want to prepare you so that your faith doesn't fail. I want to prepare you so your heart doesn't, so you don't abandon your faith. So he's working with them to prepare them. And I think we can learn from their responses. And as he's telling us right now, we need to be watching him. We need to be paying attention to what time it is. I believe we can learn and we can live this out to a higher place. So he says in Mark chapter 13, he's begun talking to them about the last days. I don't have time to read all this, but he's given them the signs. But he says in verse 32, he says, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since he's talking about what I believe is today. It says, since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard and stay alert.
Stay
if
ready.
He told this to them then, even more, we should be alert and ready. Because he says you don't know the hour or the day, but I believe it's the season.
You know the season.
You can know the season because of the signs that he's given us. He says the coming of the Son of Man can
now
be...
Now tell me where you are again.
Oh, I apologize. I'm in Mark 13. I'm reading verse 34.
Okay.
So he begins to tell a story about a man on a long trip. And he tells the gatekeeper, he gave his instructions to his slaves when he left home about what the work they're supposed to do. He tells the gatekeeper to watch for his return. He says, you too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him.
Amen.
And I believe that he's telling us it's time to wake up, church. Wake up to some things that...
Be alert.
Be alert. Be alert to... Be alert to how... To be obedient. Be alert to be corrected. Be alert to what he's saying. Be alert to his voice. Be alert to when he's coming in the door.
Yes, amen.
His presence is so mighty in our lives, in our personal lives, in the church. And his presence is going to get even greater still on this earth. So
praise
it's an
God.
Exciting day.
I'm going to be ready.
Me too.
I'm going to be watching, believing, expecting, obeying. Hallelujah. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.